First of all, a big shkoyach to families of Tuske and Marmelstein for arranging and hosting Shele Zikar Rabim, such a tremendously important subject. You know, often after I give shiurim for the men, so they always tell me, you know, it's all very nice telling us, but we've got to tell our wives. So Baruch Hashem, we're being mekayim that right now. But Ezer Hashem, in about a week and a half, when you light Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you'll be having in mind also for the wonderful mitzvah of the year of Shemitah. The poskim bring down that a woman, when she lights Hadlokas HaNeiros for Rosh Hashanah, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, she should have in mind the mitzvah of Shemitah, although it doesn't require its own bracha on its own, Shechiyonu V'Higiyonu, Azman Hazeh, which is Dafka talking about Shemitah as well as Rosh Hashanah for this year. It doesn't require its own bracha, but still we have it in mind when we light the candles. Now often people get very nervous when it comes to Shemitah. You know, you can hear about all these chumras that are going on, the chazanish, and these Shemitah bins that you have to have smelling out the whole house, and all the halachas of giving kids foods, and all these sorts of things that are wasting. People get nervous, you know, what's going to be with Shemitah, how are we going to keep it, what's going to happen? So number one, person should never get nervous. For the reason being, number one, there's many halachas, for example, Hilchos Shabbos. Let's take Hilchos Shabbos, right? I have this course of teaching Bochum sometimes that never grew up with the understanding of what means keeping Shabbos. You tell a Bochum for the first time in his life, by the way, on Shabbos you can't take a cucumber from the, you know, the salad with tomatoes and cucumbers. He thinks, what's the matter with you? Such a chumras, what's going on over here? How am I going to keep Shabbos without touching muksa? How am I going to keep Shabbos without doing boira? And all of a sudden, we all know that when you're accustomed to something and you get used to something, so it's not so difficult. And you realize that it's not so hard, and it becomes part of life. So Shemitah is the same thing. It might sound all difficult in the beginning. How are we going to keep this? How are we going to keep that? What's going to be here? What's going to be there? When we go on vacation, we travel on holiday, this, that, and the other. All sorts of halachas that we're going to have to speak about. So it's not so difficult. You get used to it. You become part of life. And Be'ez Hashem is a gewaldige schus to be here in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the second thing. The second thing is, we see in Chazal, there's a wonderful thing called Kedusha Shvius, right? We're going to speak about how to treat peiros and vegetables and yarokos with Kedusha Shvius. Now that means that the peiros, the vegetables, have an actual Kedusha. It's not like it's a regular apple. It's not a regular banana for the rest of the years and all the other years that we've been here. This is a Kedusha Shvius vegetable, Kedusha Shvius apple or fruit, whatever it may be. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara tells us, was desperate to come into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara wants to know, what was he so desperate to come to Eretz Yisrael to sightsee? What was it? So the Gemara says, the Mekayim, the mitzvahs that you can only Mekayim here in Eretz Yisrael. So we have to realize that as well. We're here, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Yisrael. We have a gewaldig resource to be here, sitting and learning, Mesiris Nefesh and Koilo, whatever it may be, each to his own. But the wonderful mitzvah Shemitah that's coming up now, this Rosh Hashanah, is a tremendous chos that we should realize. It's a wonderful thing, it's a wonderful opportunity to be Mekayim. There was a Choshev Rav that was in America a number of years ago. And the very Choshev Talmud Chacham, very Choshev Rav, and he walked into a fruit shop to buy something there. And he picks up an apple, and he looks at this apple and says, oh, hold on a second, maybe I have to worry about Orla. He says, no, I'm in America, there's no problem. And he says, what about Trumas and Maisa? I'm in Eretz Yisrael, in America, no problem. He says, what about Shemitah? No, I'm in America, no problem. Then he thinks to himself, what an empty apple. There's nothing to this apple. There's nothing theoretical that could be Kedusha about this apple. The year of Shemitah produces Kedusha, Shvius, Peiros, and Yerokos, just like a person has the opportunity when the Beis HaMikdash is here to eat Kodshim, to eat from the Korbanos, to eat Trumas, to eat Maisa, all these wonderful things that certain people can eat. We don't have the opportunity to have it because we not have a Beis HaMikdash. However, the year of Shemitah, we have the opportunity to eat fruits and vegetables that have Kedusha Shvius. Now, what is the lesson of Shemitah? Now, obviously, the Torah comes to tell us the lesson of Shemitah. There's something that we can learn from it. There's something that we can understand, that we can take with us, and something that can teach us the year of Shemitah. So, number one, the Torah calls it Shabbos La'aretz, which means literally that the land has to rest, just like Shabbos, once every 7 days is Shabbos Kodesh, and we rest, we don't do anything else that we're not allowed to do during the week. So too on Shemitah, we so to speak rest our lands, and it becomes Shabbos to the land. So it's a tremendous emunah and bitochen lesson. And it teaches us, just like on Shabbos, a person can have a business. And when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, he switches off the computer, switches off the phone, he closes the shop, and he leaves everything up to the Rabboni Shalom, whatever it may be. The same thing when it comes to Shemitah. Shemitah is a Shabbos of a whole year. That a person, those people who are in the farmers, are meant to sit and learn in Kodesh, whatever it means, that's what the Torah is meant, the Kavanah was. And therefore it's a Shabbos for the entire year. Which is what the Chinuch tells us as the second reason for Shemitah. What is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to keep Shemitah? So the Torah explains to us, and this is what Chazal explained, what the Torah meant, is a lesson in bitochen in emunah. Which means, just imagine if a person has a business. I spoke recently to a farmer, who had a tremendous amount of a huge field, and he supplied hundreds of thousands of tons to different supermarkets around the country. He called up Erev Shmita to the managers of the shop and said, "I'm sorry to tell you, I will not be able to supply you this year. It's Shmita, I'm going to close my field and everybody can come and do whatever they want." And the guy went crazy to me. He says to me, "How can you do such a thing? What's wrong with Hetzer Mechira? Just sell it like everybody else. Why are you so firm?" He said, "This is what I've decided to do." So you can imagine the emunah and bitachon that a person has to display to the Ribbono Shel Olam when he has a field and he has to say, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it, it's all up to you." And it's not a matter of 1 year, it's a matter of two and three, and it seems to be even more than that, years that a person can theoretically suffer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed that there's no suffering going to be happening over here, and Shmita is the lesson of emunah and bitachon. So a person may say, very nice, good, if you're a farmer, if you have a field, if you have a business in fruits and vegetables, but what's it going to do with us? We are regular people sitting in our houses. What is Shmita teaching us? How can we take a lesson from Shmita? So this is what I'm saying, a very beautiful lesson. That's as follows. I would say a moshel, when I took my son first time to a tish by one of the rebbes, so he got a biscuit. So he took this biscuit home, and you can imagine how he treated this biscuit. This wasn't a regular biscuit. Nobody's going to touch this biscuit. This is a biscuit that he's going to keep. He's not going to ruin it. He's not going to put it in the bin. He's going to keep it in a certain way, because this was his biscuit he got from the rebbe. The same thing it is with Kedusha, Shvi'is, Peyus, and Yerukas. We have to realize that the whole, all of the years, that everything we get comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything we get. Sometimes it takes difficulty to realize that and to understand that. Shmita is the year that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated, that a person can say for a moment, you know what? This apple does not belong to me. It belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. How do we know that? Because nothing belongs to anyone. If a person owns a field with cucumbers, tomatoes, apples, oranges, whatever it is, it becomes 100% hefka, which means that it doesn't belong to anyone whatsoever. Anyone can go in. That means the owner of the field has to share his fruits and vegetables with the regular poor people, regular rich people, animals, wild animals, whatever it may be. Everyone can just take part in his produce, which teaches us to share, and it teaches us that we are sitting on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table, and we are taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fruit and we're using it. And just like a person has lahavdil, something from a rebbe that he would never dream of ruining, so too this fruit. If we are a guest and we are simply eating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fruits, how could you dream to take such an apple and to chuck it in the bin? How could you dream to take such a thing and dump it on the floor or give it to a child that's going to smush it all over the place? So again, we'll have to get to the halachas, but the inyan and the yisoid is a beautiful yisoid that we have to realize that we're sitting at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table the entire year of Shmita, and we're eating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fruits and vegetables. And therefore, since we're eating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fruits and vegetables, we have to treat it accordingly and treat it with kedusha and with respect, and not to treat it in a bizoyan, in a disrespectful manner. This Be'ez Hashem is the yisoid of Shmita that it's going to teach us. Now, a lot of people come along, especially after the Shurim of Shmita, I've heard from different places that I gave Shurim on Shmita, so people come and say, "You know what, this year I don't think I'm going to be interested in keeping Shmita." Right? No, Maisa, it's possible. I've been here, Baruch Hashem, for two Shmitas already, and the Maisa, it's possible for a person to go throughout the entire year of Shmita, if you don't know the halachas, and not even keep Shmita. For example, I said, "How are you going to do that?" It's so simple. I know a shop that's selling everything from Chutz Laaretz. No, so I'm going to buy all my fruits and vegetables from Chutz Laaretz. I don't have a problem. I can do what I like. I can buy it as normal. I've got no problem with having Shmita bins and giving it to kids and all these sorts of things. So you're very nice, no problem. In your own house, you won't have a problem. The moment you leave your house, you're starting to get into major problems. Number one, just to mention a few of the shayas that we're going to go into. When you eat in somebody else's house, you have to know who you're eating by. Number two, you're eating in a restaurant, you have to know which hakshu it is, what type of heterium they're going to be samech on. Would you be samech on the same heterium they are? Right, in the regular year, people call up all the time with different hakshems. I always have a difficulty answering these shayas. This hakshu, that hakshu, it all depends on who you are, depends on what type of hakshu, all these sorts of things. This is, Baruch Hashem, I don't think I'll have a problem. It's very simple. Shmita, I don't think anybody's going to be samech on the shvacha hakshemim. Everybody's going to look for a good hakshu, because obviously, as we'll see, there's a major issum involved in Shmita when you eat out. Another halacha, a person goes out, for example, and wants to buy a bottle of Coca-Cola. And what could be wrong during the year of Shmita buying a bottle of Coke from a supermarket somewhere in Tel Aviv, somewhere in Haifa, somewhere in Netanya, wherever it may be? So the answer is, there's a tremendous problem. If a person goes to a shop and they're selling produce with Kedusha Shvi'is, whether it's Mutter, whether it's Osu, we'll get into the halacha at a different time. And you're buying a Coca-Cola from that, you're buying a baby bottle, you're buying a detergent for washing up, whatever it may be, something that has absolutely no connection to Shmita. The money that they are giving you could very well be Kedusha Shvi'is money. We'll have to explain how that works, and therefore, what are you going to do with that 5 shekel piece? So this is a shaila that could be negated to anybody, wherever you travel, in different places. It's negated when people rent simmers, people rent all these places in different areas where they keep shmita, they don't keep shmita. This is major shailas that a person has to realize. Out of your own personal home, there are tremendous shailas. So that's number. That's an introduction I wanted to speak about, like about that. Now, let's get to the actual halachas. Bizman hazeh, nowadays, Tovshin Ayin Hey, are we dealing with Shmita min HaTorah, Shmita Durabonah? What's the halacha? So of course it's a pasuk in the Torah, which means obviously Shmita is the Raisa. But that was when the Beis HaMikdash was here. Unfortunately, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and since we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, Shmita Bizman HaZeh, according to most poskim, is Durabonon. Now, that doesn't mean that we can be Mekel. Many times we say in halacha, if it's only a Durabonon, fakers and all sorts of things, we can be Mekel. Over here, we're not going to say that. When it comes to Shmita, the poskim say true, yes, it's a Durabonon, but we are Machmeh and we treat it as if it's a Doraisa. And one of the main reasons why it's a Durabonon is because unfortunately most of Klal Yisrael is not yet here in Eretz Yisrael. We are actually coming near to that stage. It's getting closer and closer when it would be a Doraisa, but at the moment where we're holding it is most of Klal Yisrael are not yet in Eretz Yisrael, which means that Shmita Bizman Hazeh is a Durabonon. Okay. There are four basic mitzvahs that we have to keep during Shmita. We'll go through them one by one. Number one, avodas hakarka, treating the land, working the land. That's something we're going to have to discuss on a personal level in our own personal houses, apartments, parks, and all these sorts of things. That's mitzvah number one, is the avodas hakarka. Number two is making fruits hefka. That's another thing we're going to have to discuss. Number three, in length, we're going to have to discuss kedusha shviyas, which means we're going to have to understand when we do buy from certain shops and places, payers and yirokas that have kedusha shviyas to them, how can we treat them, how can we cook them, how can we mash them, how can we give them to kids, all these sorts of halachas. And number four is the halacha of biya, the halacha of destroying, right, which we're going to have to understand what that means as well, which is a certain halacha that is a certain time limit that a person has to keep kedusha shviyas, payers and yirokas in his house. It's very applicable, for example, just to give you an example, when you make cakes. So a lot of recipes in cake have lemon rind or freshly squeezed orange juice and all these sorts of things. And you'll see, if you're going to be using kedusha shviyas, oranges or lemons, or for example in different types of things you'll be using onions and all these ideas, and you put it into the freezer, so you're going to have to figure out when is the time limit you have to keep that in your freezer. There will be a time that you're going to have to actually remove it from your house and make it hefka before you can continue using it. But again, we'll discuss that Be'ez Hashem at a different stage when we continue with the halacha. So let's start number one. Avodas karka. How do we deal with working on the land? So obviously, if a person has a field, he has to know you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to prune, you're not allowed to do all of the avodas karka that are involved in actual planting and producing fruits and vegetables. That's simple. Watering is a durabonon. When a person waters plants or a field or grass, whatever it may be, it's only a durabonon, even though it's interesting, we're not going to go into why, but on Shabbos, obviously, we know watering plants is an issur in HaTorah, it's one of the lamedes melachos, whereas over here, on Shmita, it's only a durabonon, for reasons that we're not going to go into. Now, there are times we can be mekel and water things during Shmita, and that is, if it's going to cause a hefsed, if it will ruin the item if I don't water it the entire year, which is obviously the case, for sure, in this country, when we're dealing with the heat in the summer, and you don't water your plants in the house, out the house, on the marpeset, the grass in the park, all these sorts of things, if you don't water it, so obviously it's going to get ruined. So a person should be upset when he starts going outside over here, for example, to the park or various places around the country, and he sees that the sprinkler system is on. A person shouldn't think, hey, Shmita, maybe I'm not allowed to have a hanal from such a place, maybe I can't walk here. The answer is, in most places, they hopefully have asked a gardener and they've asked an expert to know that this is the amount of times that they need to water it, and there's no problem with doing that whatsoever. The same thing in a person's house. A fellow came to me recently, his wife just acquired a whole bunch of plants that are edible, right, obviously, and we're talking about mint, parsley, all these sorts of things, and obviously she wants to continue them growing for the whole year. So again, you're allowed to water such a thing. It's only a durabonon, if it's going to cause a ruining, if I don't do it, it's mutter, and that doesn't mean you're allowed to plant. Right, you're not at the plant if it's going to cause a hefsid. That's also because it's a doraisa. Watering is mekel because it's only a durabonon. For hefsid, you can be mekel. So, as an example, right? Kids in this country, Baruch Hashem, kids in this country have found a unique way of keeping themselves busy. You know, Chutz La'aretz, Baruch Hashem, they have what to keep busy of them over there, each according to what they do. Here they find things to keep busy. You know, kids, for example, everyone knows, anyone that has boys knows, I know my kids, when it comes to right before Lag Ba'omer, so the boys are busy for weeks and weeks and weeks before Lag Ba'omer, schlepping, this is what they're busy with. You know, people in Chutz La'aretz hear that, they can't understand, that's what he's busy doing after he finishes school, schlepping wood from, you know, till 9, 10 o'clock at night. You know, in this country, people keep busy. I always remember when I was giving a share in a certain yeshiva on Hilchas Tfilas Kelim. So an Israeli, an old Israeli, walks in at the end of the share. He says, I heard you giving share in on Hilchas Tfilas Kelim. I want to ask you a shayla. This shayla can only come from Eretz Yisrael. It's mamish moedik. He walks in with a beautiful glass salad bowl. He says to me, do I need to toivel it? So I looked at it, I checked, it's plastic, it's glass. Yeah, it's not plastic, it's glass, yeah. Of course you have to toivel it. What's the shayla? He says, you don't understand. This is not a regular salad bowl. I saw outside that somebody got rid of their old washing machine. So I think, what a waste of a washing machine. So I took the door of the washing machine, that big glass door, I took off the plastic on the outside, and I've used it. It's a beautiful salad bowl. Do I need to table this or not? I mean, this only can happen here in Eretz Yisrael. You never have this in the Chutzlaretz. So what happens over here? The kids keep busy. How do they keep busy? It takes space. You ever saw kids coming back from the park? They look like they've been digging trenches over there. What's the pshat? They're busy digging, and they're putting the plants, and they're digging the earth, all these sorts of things. During Shemitah, they have to be stopped. That cannot be something that's mutter to be done. If they're going to be planting, or they're going to be plowing, or they're going to be doing various malachas, even if they're children, they, if they can understand it, have to be stopped, because again, that's one of the malachas that cannot be done during Shemitah. Another halacha. Person rents somewhere during the year. And I have to remember, this entire year of Shemitah, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, these halachas are applicable. Let's imagine a person goes away, being a smanim, and he rents one of these small little places that has a little garden, a little flower area over there. Now, if they're not going to be keeping Shemitah, meaning that these are people that unfortunately are not firm and not keeping Shemitah, so the grass that you're going to be nana from, you're going to enjoy that wonderful grass, has been worked during Shemitah, and it's a problem. Someone came to him recently, he has an apartment somewhere, I think in Haifa, wherever it was, and he knows that they're not going to keep the Shemitah. So I told him, again, we're not going to go into these halachas because obviously you have to ask a rab before it comes nageya. But you have to know such a shaila exists. You have to theoretically go to the mokim. You have to mafke. You have to make hefka, the chelik of grass that belongs to you, even if you're renting it. Because otherwise you are over on the issa of shmita. That means even if it doesn't belong to you, you're renting it for a week, bainas money. But you know that these people don't keep shmita. It's a problem and you have to be careful. Again, it's a shaila. Take it to a rab and figure it out when he comes nageya. But a certain time, on the other side of the coin, by the way, it's a gewaltiger schuss. Let's say a person is renting an apartment here in Eretz Yisrael, and here in Yerushalayim, he rents an apartment, and in this apartment complex they have a park. For example, here in Ganegula, most people pay vada bayis, and the vada bayis goes towards the grass area inside the park. There's places in Bells, for example, people told me as well, that have nice flowers over there. And again, you have a chelik in that flower. That means that even if you didn't do what they, you know, all these wonderful papers that are coming around recently, you know, buy plots of land, cost this amount of money to Keren Shvias, it's a beautiful thing. But if a person is renting an apartment, and together with that apartment, somewhere in the area that's mushutab, that's partners with everybody, is an area of planting, of flowers, of grass, whatever, he's mekayim a beautiful mitzvah of Shvias by doing that. Now there's obviously other heterium of cutting things on Shemitah. For example, if you have a hedge and the hedge is getting very, very big and it's coming into the Kinesar and you can, nobody can walk there and it's bothering everybody, so then obviously you can cut down, you can trim it in that situation, there's no problem. What's a tremendous problem during Shemitah is what happens if you do an act of watering shaloi v'kavona. Meaning, I have no interest in watering, but it happens. What's the halacha? Very, very scary. Two people came to me with the following shaila. One was a fellow in Bells, and he has an apartment over there. If you look in, most of the new ones over here don't have a part like this, but the old apartments do. You go to Geula, all over the place. You see on the marpeset, you have a pipe coming out from there. That pipe, the water from the sponge of water, goes straight down. So often it will land on the street, which is no problem, obviously, on Shemitah, but it will often land on a grass area, on a plant area. And again, if it's not there in your own apartment here, there's something you have to take with you the entire year when you go certain places for Shabbos, wherever it may be, or not even Shabbos, during the week, and you have an apartment that has such a situation. What's the halacha with a watering that's done shaloi b'kavona? Another example, you switch on the air conditioning. What happens? The air conditioning obviously has condensation. The water from the air conditioning goes down into the pipe. The pipe eventually reaches where? So often they'll place the pipe in a place where it will do its own TLS, which is in a place like flowers or grass, an area like that. Is that a problem? Is there a problem with putting on your air conditioning? I mean, you have all sorts of shyness of kids playing in paddling pools in an area where there's, you know, a park area or there's grass over there. Is that a problem during Shemitah? So the halacha, the answer to all of these shyness and many more of them is that if it's clear to us that you have no kavana to water the grass or no kavana to do anything that helps it, it's mutter. Example, I had a fellow from Ramat. He wants to build a sukkah, and his only place to build a sukkah is on the grass. So building the sukkah is no problem. But when he removes the sukkah at the end of Yom Tov, obviously that grass that was on has been ruined from everybody trampling it, from drink spilling, from all sorts of things, and not getting sun and everything else. He's going to remove the walls of the sukkah. He has a problem, because now it's going to help it to grow. So the answer is, again, if it's clear to us that your kavana is not to water it, the there's no problem. So the sponge, for example, to the Moshkiach Shaila, if it's clear to us, which it normally is, that you're not doing it to water the plants, it's mutter. Now, there are those that are machmeh. I even heard a Choshev Rav that wanted to be machmeh for the simple reason that he said that even if it's got cleaning solution in it, which obviously most of our sponge of water will have, it's worse. Because he said it makes it even better. It helps the plants to grow. So I said, that's a very interesting idea. I never heard of this before. So what do? I call up my good friend, the expert gardener in Hanof. And he tells me, absolutely not. It used to be that way, that the cleaning things that people had in their sponge of water and everything had phosphates and all sorts of things inside it. And it used to help the plants to grow. Nowadays, they will not make it. They're not allowed. It's illegal. And they're not allowed to make it with that. Which means that if you have sponge of water, for sure, if it's got cleaning fluid, and for sure, even more so, if it's got bleach in it, there's no shiloh whatsoever. A person is allowed to do sponge in the regular way. The same halacha is with the air conditioner. You're allowed to put it on, even though it's going to drip down and fall onto a nice area of grass that will make it better. There's no problem with that. Same halacha of hanging up your laundry. For those that put it on a laundry lines where it drips straight onto the grass, similar shaila, obviously that's mutter, there's nothing to worry about in such a case. What is a problem is, number one, water fountains. This is very, very shkiah. Most of the water fountains that are across the country, when you go to the zoo, you go to different places, go to Gansaka, go to loads and loads of places, the area have made wonderful water fountains of fresh water for people to drink. The problem is they're made in a way that the water flows straight down onto the grass underneath it. That is a problem, because obviously over there you're actually watering the plants, even though you are doing it to have a drink, but pressing that button is literally watering the plants, so that must be avoided, which means when you do that, take a cup with you and give the kids a drink from the cup, and obviously anything that spills by mistake is okay, but to actually drink it in a regular way that everything that spills down goes onto the grass is a problem. Number two, if you're a good Israeli, you'll be making a barbecue somewhere during the year, maybe in Gansaka, whatever it is, and when you do that, you have a problem with the Tinis Hedayim, right? What do you do with Tinis Hedayim? Is obviously you have to do Nesir Adayim even if you're in a park, so people often wash on the grass. That cannot be done during Shemitah. That has to be done on the area of the park. That has to be done in the area that's cement, because obviously that is a mufurisha way of watering the plants. And the fact that you've got your hands underneath there doesn't show us clearly that you're actually washing your hands, and therefore that must be avoided. Whereas kids want to play with a paddling pool or whatever in an area where there's grass, that we don't have to worry about. They're splashing, they're having fun. It's clear to us that that's absolutely no kavana for Shmita whatsoever. So that's the chelek of avodas hakarka that could be negeya during the year when a person goes anywhere, or even here in a person's own house. Another halacha, another chelek in the same halacha, is plants and flowers. So plant pots. Let's start with plant pots. Like this. Flowers and plants, obviously in the field, outside is a problem. For example, that doesn't mean have to be on grass, even if it's in a person's house, but if it's in a way that it can get yinika, they can get nourishment from the ground, it's a problem. Which means, we're going to explain that. What's the halacha, for example, if you have a plant that's inside a house? What's the halacha if you have a regular flower pot with real earth and a real growing plant, and it's inside a person's house, is living on the fifth floor, and there's no air there, it's not on the marpeset, it's got no connection to the ground whatsoever. So it's inside a person's house. What's the halacha with that during Shemitah? So there's a major sophic in the poskim what halacha that has. On one hand, the Torah says, Shemitah, don't water, don't plant, don't deal with the fruits and vegetables, don't deal with anything that grows. Shemitah replies, anyway, no, it's a shul, so that would be awesome. On the other hand, the Torah says, the sodeh has to be done in the field. Now, in my house is not considered to be a field. Now, because of that, it's a major sophic in the poskim what the halacha is. Many poskim are mekel, and they say that if it's in a person's house, in a way that it's not getting any nourishment from the ground, as we'll explain in a moment, there is no problem. You can do whatever you want with that during Shemitah. The Chazon Ish and others were machmeh, and again, it remains unresolved, it remains a sophic, and every person should ask his personal rav to find out what he should do in that situation, because it's a tremendous sophic in the poskim. Now, let me explain the difference between getting nourishment and not getting nourishment. Very, very important. People don't even realize that this thing can even exist in their own house. There's something in the poskim that's called otzitz nokuv and otzitz einu nokuv. Maybe you've heard about it, maybe you will hear about it. It's a famous term that the poskim use. Otzitz nokuv means a flower pot that has a hole. That's a literal translation, it has a hole. And this hole can gain nourishment from the ground. Now, we'll see in a moment, it doesn't mean a hole, it means lots of different things. Otzitz she'einu nokuv. Also, she'einu nokuv means it's got no hole and therefore can receive no nourishment from the ground. So, number one, What does it mean you can gain nourishment from the ground? If it's on the marpeset, and there's no marpeset on top of you, then it can gain nourishment. It's subject to the air around it, it's under the shamayim, it can gain nourishment. Number two, if it's on a person's windowsill, in a way that the leaves are drooping over, and under the leaves is going to be ground, even if it's 5, 6, 10, 15 floors underneath, it makes no difference, since those leaves are hanging over the actual windowsill, therefore they are subject to the halach of what we call a otzus nokov, it's as if it's got a hold to it, and therefore it's a problem. And if a person is on the ground level of an apartment, and he's got his plant on the floor, that will be a problem. Now, what's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is number one. To move it from one place to another place is a problem. So, for example, if it's on the windowsill, or if it's in the marpeset, and it starts to rain, or starts to be too hot, whatever, you want to bring it inside. People move, for example, during Shemitah, very shkiach, you move apartments, and you didn't realize, you take all the plants with you. What are you doing? You're taking the plants from outside, which obviously are gaining nourishment, you're bringing them inside, they've got no nourishment anymore. Then you're going to take it back out again, you've got a problem. To buy plants during Shemitah from a shop, same problem. You're in a shop, it's probably not getting nourishment. You're taking it out to the outside street where it's going to get nourishment. It's as if you planted this plant. And therefore, you have to be very, very careful. If the plant pot is made from either metal or glass or heavy plastic, there is no problem whatsoever. I know people that, for example, right before Rosh Hashanah, go around the house and they start taping down pieces of foil in the areas where their flowers are growing to make sure that there's going to be no problem whatsoever. If you do need to move a plant during Shemitah, so what you should do is wrap it in a very thick plastic bin bag or around with foil, and then you can move wherever you want, because then it gets no nourishment from the ground. Now, you have to know, there's other halachas as well. I don't want to go too much into detail because there's a tremendous amount of halachas. For example, what happens if the flower pot tips over? Yeah, it tips over, the kids never know, all the earth is all over the place. So in the way that it is now, it can't even grow. So what are you going to do? Naturally, you gather everything back, you put it back into the flower pot. During Shemitah, you can't do that. If it falls in one clump, you can put it back. But if the whole thing falls earth all over the place in a way that it won't be able to grow in the way that it is now, then you can't do that during Shemitah. I mean, there are poskim that are machme, unbelievable chumras. One, for example, holds that, and if anybody knows how they build apartments here, is under your tiles, it's not that they do it anymore, but in the olden days, up till about a year or two ago, under everyone's tiles is sand. It's a layer of sand, and then they put the tiles on top of that with cement. Okay, a little bit of cement that just does the in-between, but it's really a layer of sand. Some folks can hold that that's got a din of karaka. I mean, for example, I know by me, I live on the seventh floor, and I see in the marpeset outside, little green shoots, you know, shooting out from the corners of the marpeset. Now, there's no way these are getting unique from the ground seven floors down. It's not even possible. Elamai, it's coming from the sand. The sand has become a mockum of karaka. So someone has say, if that's the case, even inside your house you have a problem, because it's as if there's a karaka underneath it. Number two, there's even more machmim than this. That they are, we don't pass like this, but there are those machmim, if you have a marpeset, and you want to walk onto a marpeset, is there a problem with walking onto your balcony during the year of Shemitah? So they say, hold on a minute, I don't know what's on top. If you have a marpeset on top of you, and he has a flower pot right on top of you, and you step underneath that one, you have a problem, because what you've just done now is you stop the yiniki, you stop the nourishment directly to the ground by standing underneath it, and when you move away, you have problems. I mean, these are shaylos that I'll discuss in Hilchos Shabbos as well. Now, in Shemitah, obviously, we don't have to be worried about these things. We're not worried about in the house with the sand. We're not worried about walking on the balconies. But you just have to realize that such a that does exist. Again, opening up the tris, opening up the curtains is also a common shaila during Shemitah as well, when the light and the sun comes in and gives wonderful nourishment to your plants that are sitting on the windowsill. We don't have to be worried about that. There's no problem to open up the curtains or the tris during the year of Shemitah. Beseder. That ends the shailas with plants. We'll get back to flowers at a later stage. Do you have any questions on the halachas of plants? You can't put it back in the container. What you're doing, it depends. If it can last in the way it is now, which means if you leave it that way, it can continue growing without a problem, then you can put it back and you can add some soil. But most times, if it spills all over the place, it means it's going to spill everywhere and the roots will sort of be revealed, in which case it obviously will not grow. So what you're doing by putting the earth is you're actually causing it to grow. And that during Shemitah is a problem. However, if it's inside your house, according to the Mikilim who hold in your house, there's no Shemitah, then obviously you could be Mekel. Chazanish wouldn't allow it. Many poskim would say inside a person's house, if he's not on the Kinsah level, then he has nothing to worry about, because in a house we're not worried about Shemitah. So it depends if you're passing like the Mikilim or the Machmim in that Shaila. Again, I don't want to be Machmim in that. It's a big, big, big Shaila. Most poskim are Mekel. There is a Mokum to be Mekel inside a person's house. But again, each person should ask a Shaila when it comes to that situation. The marpeset is a much bigger problem. Then, according to everybody, it's going to be getting nourishment. It's a big problem. It's a problem. You have to figure out a way of doing it. I'm going to go now into all the details, but there is a way of doing it to be makel. But there is, you have to ask a shayla at the time. Now, yeah.
Is it
Okay, let's move on. Let's get to the actual fruits and vegetables that we will be receiving during the year of Shemitah. So what is the status of fruits and vegetables that grow during the Shemitah year here in Eretz Yisrael? So any food, any vegetables, fruits and anything like that that grows, including, by the way, herbs, including also smelling spices, all these sorts of things are included. It doesn't only mean edible things out of apples and oranges, but anything that people smell, herbs that people cook with, spices, all these sorts of things. If they grow here in Eretz Yisrael, in a land that belongs to a Jewish person, it is Kedusha Shviyas, which means that it's Hefka. Now, when you say it's Hefka, there's a shaila, does the owner have to come along after Rosh Hashanah and be Mafkir and say everything is Hefka? We paskan halacha, even if he doesn't, it doesn't make a difference. The Ribbono Shel Olam said it's Hefka, and therefore, theoretically, it's a wonderful tool to take the kids' bin as money. You go to the local field, you go to up north, you go to all sorts of places where you drive past, and normally you're looking at the wonderful fruits and vegetables that they're growing, and you can literally just walk into his field and start picking whatever you want, the amount that you need for a few days for your family, and you can eat it. You don't have to take up Truvas and Maisa, you can just eat it straight away. It's got Kedusha Shviyas. The problem is, a lot of the farmers, unfortunately, it's becoming less and less as the Shemitahs go on, but a lot of them, unfortunately, don't keep Shemitah. In which case, they'll do one of two things which are a problem. Number one, they'll do something which is called Shomu, which means they will guard the field. Guarding the field means they will put a gate or a lock on the actual entrance of the field and they will not allow anyone in. That is awesome, they're not allowed to do that. Or they'll do something called Ne'evad, which means they'll work it. Business is normal for them, no problem, business is normal, off they go, planting and pruning and watering without any regard to Shemitah whatsoever. There's a major machloikas, what is the din of the produce that comes from his field? Either he guarded it, or he worked on it. It's called Shomu v'Ne'evad. The poskim of a major machloikas are poskim. The minig Yerushalayim is to be machme, and therefore it's another reason to be very, very careful when you buy things during Shemitah, to watch out for a very good heksha. Because if it's not a good heksha, you have to be extremely careful for Shomu v'Ne'evad. It's something that if they're over on the minig Yerushalayim is to be machme, and we don't eat such produce. Now, let's go into shopping during Shemitah. When a person goes into the shop, there's various ways that people sell fruits and vegetables during the Shemitah year. There's approximately five, and we'll probably more commonly in this area see four of them. So we have to go through them to know what are the names, what do we have to look out for, and what are the halachas of each thing. So number one, the two ways of buying fruits and vegetables in a way that there's no problem at all of Kedusha Shviyas is number one, from the sixth year. The Bedat Eidus Charedus have been working for the last few months amazingly, tremendously hard to work out a way to try and store as much as they possibly can from the sixth year until Rosh Hashanah and store it away. And they've got all sorts of ways of guarding it with padlocks and certain signs to make sure that nobody messes around with it. It's very, very common in the Arab areas. And therefore they will sell in many, many places payers that have a din of the sixth year. That has no Kedusha Shviyas. You can buy it as normal. Everything is as normal. You can use it as normal without a shaila. That's one, number one. Number two, Chutz Laretz. So either what they'll do is they'll import things from Chutz Laretz. They'll bring new things from Cyprus, from Turkey, all sorts of places. And obviously these fruits and vegetables that come in have absolutely no Kedusha Shviyas whatsoever. Or what they'll do is they'll bring something in, for example, now in the Bedatz, they're very, very somach on a place called Arava. Arava is, there's different places around the country that they consider to be Chutz Laretz, even though we would consider to be, so to speak, Israel. They're on the Israeli map. But we don't consider it to be halachically to be Eretz Yisrael. One of those places is right near Elat, for example, that the Bedats, for example, hold that these are places that are considered to be halachically Chutz Laretz, and therefore, when they bring in the fruits and vegetables from there, there is no problem. I remember I was once sitting by Rabbi Zul Orb, actually, to go into a ksuba. It was a Sephardi ksuba, and it wrote in that ksuba that the wife agrees that she'll never leave Eretz Yisrael without asking permission from her husband first. So the Zul Orbach looked up and he said, hey, what happens if she wants to go to Elat? Does she have the permission or not? So Elat is considered to be, according to most person, Chutz Laretz. Which means when you bring fruits and vegetables from there, it does not have Kedusha Shviyas. Which means, by the way, when a person goes to certain places up north, if you go all the way up there, so you have a problem. You're not allowed, we'll get to the halacha later, to take Kedusha Shviyas, payers and Yerokas, to Chutz Laretz. A very common shaila when people travel. When you want to take sandwiches for the kids, with cucumbers and all sorts of things you want to take for the kids, are you allowed to take Kedusha Shviyas, payers and Yerokas? We'll get to that at a different time. So again, there's two mahalchim. Number one, sixth year. Number two, Chutz Laretz. By the way, there are places like Rav Eliyashiv that held that these places that the Bedatz are so mechon are not Chutz Laaretz, they held their Eretz Yisrael, which is why there are people that only buy from Chutz Laaretz, which is real Chutz Laaretz, that are imported from other places that are completely no shaykhs. They will not be soimach on certain hechsherim that bring in from Eretz Yisrael that they consider to be Chutz Laaretz. It's a machlokes, the Bedatz are soimach on it. If you buy Bedatz in the Chavedis, there's nothing to worry about. They consider it to be Chutz Laaretz, and there's no Kedusha Shvi'is. The third mahalach is Heter Mechira. So everybody's heard about Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira, Heter Mechira. What's halacha with Heter Mechira? So, as we know, when it comes to Pesach, for example, everybody has no problem with selling a chometz. That's what we all do. We sell our chometz to a goy, we get it back after Pesach. Wonderful. We have no problem. Why don't we do the same thing when it comes to Shmita? It's simple. Sell your land to a goy. Now it belongs to a goy. Let him work it. Let him sell it. And all the payers have not got Kedusha Shvi'is. It's a wonderful way to make sure that the farmers still have money. It's a wonderful way to make sure that everything goes as normal. So years ago, some of the Gedolei Poskim, Mamash the Gedolei Olam, some of the Gedolei Ador, said that Heter Mechira was Mutter for the simple reason of Pikuach Nefesh. It was a situation that they realized. If we don't allow Heter Mechira, people will poshut die. There's no way of them making a parnasa. There's no way of them having anything to give their families to eat. People, families, hundreds and thousands of people will die. Pikuach Nefesh, we could be Mekel. Bizman Hazeh. According to all those poskim that were makel then, they never would have been makel now. It's clear that whatever they said over then would never apply over here in this situation now when we have what we have, and never there's no heter. That's number one. Number two, there's another halacha. There's halacha of mefurish posuk in the Torah, leisachanim. Right? Everybody knows it's a familiar halacha that a person not had to give goyim presents, right? You're not had to give it to shayla, giving a cleaner a present. Shayla that we're not going into. There's an issur leisachanim to give goyim things. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to goyim. Which means, how are you allowed to sell your land to a goy? So you'll tell me, what about chometz? How come when it comes to chometz, we all sell, you know, we rent our apartments, so to speak, to the goy, we sell our chometz? So the poskim say a very big difference, and that is as follows. When it came to chometz, when it came to Pesach, Chazal gave us the heter of selling chometz. Chazal understood that sometimes it's very difficult to have a tremendous amount of chometz in your house. They said, you know what? Sell it and off you go. So good, we have a heter from Chazal. When it came to Shmita, there is nowhere in Chazal that we find an idea or an advice for a person to sell his field. Now Chazal understood that obviously it's possible, but Chazal said, you don't do it. The Chazan Ish says even more than that. Because of the halacha of lo sechanim, of not selling land of Eretz Yisrael to goyim, it doesn't work. The sale is not chal, and therefore what you're eating is terrible. Now this is very, very important. Maybe not in this area so much, but I know, for example, when I give shir in Katamon to the kollel over there, so one of the fellows came to me and says, I have a major problem this year. He eats by his grandmother in Mikrofim. She lives over there. Every Friday night he eats there. What's he going to do this year? She buys Heter Mechira every Shmita. She has no problem. That's all they sell over there. They're not going to sell all the stuff that we buy in this area. So you have a major, major problem. So he said to me, maybe give me a Heter. Right? So say that. I said, maybe fruits I can give you a Heter. Or but vegetables, we'll see in a moment, by Spichim, there's tremendous, tremendous problems. See, you have to be careful where you're going, where you're eating, which hechsher being soimach on. There are hechsherim that are soimach on Heter Mechira. There are many packages of food, by the way, that are also soimach on Heter Mechira, and you won't even realize it. And what they do is, it's very interesting, they put on the can or whatever it is, on the packet, small little words, H-mem, or hey-mem. Hey, Heter Mechira, you won't even know it doesn't say Heter Mechira on it, you don't even know about it, and therefore you're buying Heter Mechira produce. It can be in a game in Chutz Laaretz as well, where they send a lot of the stuff to Chutz Laaretz. We'll get to that at a different time about what halacha and chutz laaretz. So that's halacha. We're not so mechon our gedolei hador taina that avadu doesn't work and we don't buy heter mechira. That's pashut. So that's the third way. Four and number five. What are the next two which are most common that we'll find in this area? And that is number one, yibul nochri, which is fruits and vegetables that have grown on a land that belongs to goyim. What's the halacha? We'll get to the halacha in a moment. And the fifth one is oitze beisten. So let's start number four and number five clearly. What's the halacha with produce, with fruits and vegetables that have grown in Eretz Yisrael in a land that belonged to goyim? And belonged to goyim doesn't mean they sold it to goyim. It always belonged to goyim. The Bedatz, for example, recently sent me their video that they have because they want me to make sure that I know what's going on with Bedatz so I can tell everybody, because otherwise people are always, you know, maybe, yeah, Bedatz, not Bedatz. It's very interesting, but the Bedatz has spent a tremendous amount of time and money, which is why sometimes it reflects in the price, by the way, in making sure what you'll get is real peiros nochri. And I'll tell you two problems. Problem number one, to buy food that theoretically belongs to a goy. How do you know it really belongs to a non-Jewish person? You know, a lot of the land here in Eretz Yisrael, residential areas for sure, where Arabs live, doesn't actually belong to Arabs. It belongs to the government of Israel. And the government of Israel leased it to Arabs for 50 years. And every 50 years it gets released. So really it belongs to Jewish people. But theoretically we'll understand it belongs to goyim. So what do we do with such a land? Number two, if we can understand and realize that the Arabs know that anybody that's bothered about Hekshayim want to buy fruits and vegetables from them, they've got to come up with a lot of produce to supply the demand. How do they do that? So what they've done in previous years is, they found this out, is they found, illegally, obviously it's not right, is they get shipments from Jewish places, from fields that belong to Jewish people, in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, they'll dig underground, they'll literally bury all the cucumbers, all the tomatoes and carrots under the ground, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, the mashkiach will come to see what's going on, and I'll see these Arab workers picking everything from the ground, they're saying, wonderful, and realize in the meantime, it all comes from Jewish. So the Badats have spent a tremendous amount of money, they have mashkichim sometimes sleeping the entire year in the field during Shemitah to make sure what you have is real Peiros Nochri. They send people with video cameras, with satellite, it's tremendous what they do. And therefore to make sure that it really is Peiros Nochri, they make sure everything that you can. Now what's the halacha with Peiros Nochri? The minig Yerushalayim was always to be mekel and to treat fruits and vegetables that come with Peiros Nochri, Yibul Nochri, to be non-kedusha shviyis. That means you could buy it as normal, you could treat it as normal, there's no kedusha or such a thing, and that's it. Outside Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak, in Beit Shemesh, in most places outside Yerushalayim, they are machmeh and they treat it like the chazanish, which is, it's not really the chazanish, it's already Rishonim, that has a din of kedusha shviyis. So in Yerushalayim, the minig was to be mekel. I must add, there were poskim that were machmer even in Yerushalayim. Recently, a Rav told me that he remembers seeing one of the first Rabbonim of Yerushalayim, Choshev Gadol. So he was machmer for himself. So when he was once by somebody's house for Shemitah, they served him an orange. So he peeled the orange and started putting the peels in his pocket because he knew that the person he'd be in wouldn't treat him with Kedusha Shviyas. There are those that are machmer, Rav Elyashiv Zatzal, Taina, that a Ben Torah in Yerushalayim should yes be machmer, that it has got Kedusha Shviyas. But again, the minig is to be mekel, and the Badats, Edis Charedis, are soimich on this, which means if you buy Badat Elis Haredes fruits and vegetables, it's all Peiros Nochri. They're going with the mini Grishanayim that you could be Mekel, and therefore you've got no Kedusha Shviyas whatsoever. So that's one Eitzah that people like to do. Another Eitzah, right, and this is Kedusha Shviyas, is Eitzah Beistin. Eitzah Beistin means, in a literal sense, it was Bismanatis theft already, from thousands of years ago, is that simple. I can theoretically go to a field, and I can start picking fruits and vegetables, whatever I like, no problem, it's all hefka, I'm allowed. But I can't be bothered, I'm not interested, we're not going to start going every single week, you know, we only have to take a week's worth of fruits and vegetables, not more than that. So what we're going to do is start taking bus loads to different places up north to go and get our fruits and vegetables. So what we do is very simple. We appoint a messenger from the Beis Din, and the Beis Din does it for us. He brings it to us, he delivers it to the shop, and we take it. Now there's another problem. Shemitah produce is not allowed to be sold. You're not allowed to do business with it, right? So therefore, if you can't do business with it, how are you allowed to buy a cucumber, and how are they allowed to sell a cucumber? The answer is that they're not selling the cucumber. Meaning, the money that you will be paying when you have Eitzah Beis Din, you'll see signs all over the place. This Eitzah Beis Din is in Karelitz, it's got a famous Eitzah Beis Din. There's other Eitzah Beis Dins all over the country as well. If it's a good Heksha Eitzah Beis Din, it means that they have a Shliach. This Shliach does the cutting, he does the transportation, he does the storage, and he brings it to the shop. So what you're paying for is not a cucumber. You're not paying for the actual fruit, you're not paying for the vegetable. You're paying for the work involved in bringing it to you. Which means two things. Number one, the price of a cucumber and an avocado and a grape should be exactly the same. Because again, you're not paying for the produce. You're paying for the work involved. Number two, the whole thing should be much, much cheaper. And it has to be this way. Eitzah Beis Din is often very, very cheap. You'll see signs all over the place during Shemitah. You know, now we're bringing out this Eitzah Beis Din apricots. Now we're bringing out this Eitzah Beis Din grapes. All these sorts of things. It's much, much cheaper. Because obviously you're only paying for the work, the transportation, and the tirch involved, and not for the actual fruit and the vegetable. The mila of it is, apart from the fact of being cheap, is it's got Kedusha Shviyas. Which means you're eating fruits that have a tremendous kedusha to them. There is a shita in the Rishonim. The Ramban, for example, holds that you get a mitzvah midoraisa, mitzvahs asay, every single time you eat peiros that have kedusha shviyas to them. Now we don't paskin that way. We don't paskin like this Ramban. However, the Chazon Ish writes that if a person eats fruits and vegetables that have kedusha shviyas, he's mekayim rotzen hatoyah, as I state in the Chazon Ish. Now again, you're not mechoyev. You don't have to, but it's a tremendous mitzvah. Someone came to me recently. He's got a bunch of kids. What am I going to do shemitah? I'm going to start buying all loads of based in, the kids are going to start messing things around, they're not going to know how to treat this, they're not going to know how to treat that, said Beseder. So maybe for your house what you should get mainly is maybe goyish and things, not treat the Kedusha Shviyas, or get them chutzlaretz. But I told him, you know what, just buy at least one thing with Kedusha Shviyas. The chinuch that we can give our children in Kedusha Shviyas, especially if we're here for a limited amount of time. People have told me that they remember from years ago of being here in Shemitah, how their parents did certain things in Shemitah. It's a tremendous chinuch, even if a child is very, very young, they realize what's going on. It's a tremendous chinuch that we can give them for the little time that we're here in Eretz Yisrael to show them the opportunity for such a mitzvah that we have over here. Again, you're not mechuyav to buy anything with Kedusha Shviyas. But it's a wonderful thing, at least to buy one thing with Kedusha Shviyas and treat it accordingly. Again, someone that can buy everything Kedusha Shviyas, according to Ramban, tremendous mitzvah, according to the Chazon Ish, Mekayim Rotzon HaTorah. Okay, so now, that's the halacha with the five different ways. Again, let's go over them very, very quickly because it's extremely important. Number one, it's from the sixth year, no kedusha. Number two, chutz laaretz, no kedusha. Number three, heter mechira, we're not going into. Four is peiros nochri, which comes from a goyim, we are makel in Yerushalayim, as well as the minig, and therefore we treat it with non-kedusha shviyas. And the fifth one was oitzah beistin, which means I'm paying for the work, but everything has kedusha shviyas to it. Now, there are different shayas that we're not going into now. What happens if a person travels from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak for Shabbos? What does he do even if he comes from Yerushalayim? What does he do in Bnei Brak? All these sorts of questions that we're not going into now. What has Kedusha Shviyas? So, it's true that Shemitah starts from Rosh Hashanah, that's coming up in a week and a half till next Rosh Hashanah. But as we will see, that most of the fruits, for sure, and even sometimes the vegetables, only come to us much, much later. And it's possible even to get fruits halfway down the line in the middle of the eighth year, for example. Right, a year and a half's time, you can still getting fruits that come from Shemitah, even though it's half a year after Shemitah already finished. How does that work? So there's two different ways how we judge when Shemitah fruits and vegetables are actually Kedusha Shviyas. So number one, fruits go like this. Fruits go not by when you pick them, but how much they have grown. So for example, if you have right now today an apple on the tree that's almost ready, and then 2 or 3 weeks time after Rosh Hashanah they'll pick this apple and bring it to the shop. Does this apple have Kedusha Shviyas? No. Why? Even though it was picked during Shemitah, since it was mostly grown before Shemitah, there's nothing to worry about. Whereas on the other hand, you'll have an apple that grows towards the end of Shemitah, and they'll pick it half a year after Shemitah, but it was mostly grown during the seventh year. That apple will be Kedusha Shviyas even 6 months after next Rosh Hashanah. So this is something you have to be very, very careful. I have a chart that goes through all the dates, if anybody's seen it, or maybe we'll bring it next time, that goes through the dates approximately that you find here in the Eretz Yisrael, the different fruits and vegetables, when they're available in the shops, and you'll see, I'll be very surprised to see how long it takes some of us to get avocados and all these sorts of things, many, many, many months, sometimes after Rosh Hashanah even began. Vegetables, on the other hand, go by when they are picked. It doesn't make any difference when they grew. It goes by when they're picked, which means, if you go to the Makolet 2 days after Rosh Hashanah, on Monday morning, when they get the fresh produce in from the fields, if it's not obviously from Chutz Laaretz or from the sixth year, it has just been picked, it's got Kedusha Shviyas. All the onions, all the carrots, all the tomatoes, all these sorts of things already have Kedusha Shviyas from 2 days after Rosh Hashanah. That's when they start picking it, and that's when it's Chal. The apples and the oranges and the lemons and all the other things generally straight away will not have Kedusha Shviyas. It sometimes takes till Chanukah, till Purim, different zmanim and different fruits, and therefore to get to the shops of Kedusha Shviyas. It's something to watch out for. One more halacha over here is something called Sfichim. Sfichim are things that grow by themselves. What's the halacha with things that grow by themselves? So we know that when it comes to fruits, for example, fruits don't have to constantly be planted. We don't have to take a fruit tree and constantly plant it every year. It regrows fruits by itself. Vegetables don't work that way. Vegetables work on a way that they have to be planted. You want to have a tomato, you need to plant a tomato. You want to have a carrot, you need to plant a carrot. So the question is like this. If you're not allowed to plant during the year of Shemitah, how on earth are we meant to get vegetables during Shemitah? So of course, if you bring them all chutz laaretz, we've got no problem. But here in Eretz Yisrael, how are they meant to have them? So there's something called Sfichim. Sfichim means it grows by itself. It's very, very common by vegetables, where the seeds of vegetables get thrown by the wind sometimes, by animals, and it starts sprouting during Shemitah. What's the halacha over here? So min haTorah, anything that grows during the Shemitah year is mutter. It grew by itself, nobody planted it. What's the problem? So that means min haTorah, we're allowed to take these tomatoes and cucumbers that grew during Shemitah, because they grew by themselves. However, Chazal saw something crazy. They saw that people were doing things not correct. People were planting things during Shemitah, which is awesome, and they were claiming, oh, it grew by itself. So Chazal understood if we allow things to be eaten when they grew by themselves, people will do what they want and start being open and help the Shemitah. So Chazal asked, it's an Issa de Rabbonon that does not allow any vegetable that grew during Shemitah by itself to be eaten whatsoever. It's Sfichim, it's an Issa de Rabbonon, which means, if we can figure it out practically, anything that's growing now, cucumbers, tomatoes and carrots, is no problem. But the moment 2, 3, 4 months down the line, things start growing by themselves, It's going to be a problem. There's something called Svichim, which is another problem. When you go certain places with different Hechsherim, you have to be very, very careful, especially if they're relying on Hetem Mechira. Hetem Mechira for fruits, okay, maybe we can find Kulus for Peshas Atchak. But when it comes to vegetables, an Issa to Rabbanon. A fellow once came to the Chazon Ish. And he came to the Chazon Ish and said, you know, Laleinu, his wife was very, very ill, she had high blood pressure. And he said, you know, Rebbe, I need a Issa. I want to be Makel on Svichim. The doctor said that she has to eat a tremendous amount of vegetables and then she'll be okay. The problem is, there's no vegetables to be found. I remember myself, last Shvita, if I remember correctly, maybe it was 2 ago, there was a major shortage of onions. There was no onions, right? Obviously now they're getting things more and more from Chutz Laaretz. But if you can't get things from Chutz Laaretz, there's no vegetables when it comes to the end of the year. There's no Issa based in Kedusha Shavuos vegetables, because how did it grow? If you don't plant a tomato, it doesn't grow. So they came to the Chazon Ish, you know, maybe you have an Eitzah for me. The Chazon Ish thought about it, said, alright, it's only Drabbanan, Sechon and Sefoshes, you can be Mekel. This person went out, Chazon Ish turned to his, whoever was sitting there, he said, you know, I don't understand. Chicken and milk is also Drabbanan. You take a piece of chicken, you cook it together with cheese. He said, this is Drabbanan. He said, never yet did anybody ever come to me with a Shaila, can I be Mekel on this such a thing? Why? Because, oh, chicken and milk, who could dream of doing such a thing? Svichim, people think, it's Shmita, it's a Drabbanan, it's Manazer, this, and the other, all the Kulas, Chas V'Shalom, a person should realize that we treat this Mamash as a Do'oraisa, and it's very, very Chomer. Now, Svichim only applies to things that you have to constantly plant, like tomatoes and cucumbers. Or bananas, for example, it doesn't apply to, because bananas take approximately a year and a half to grow. So therefore, if somebody picks a banana during Shmita, there's no way he planted it during Shmita. It was a year and a half ago. So it doesn't apply to bananas. It doesn't apply to things in your house. So for example, if you have mint plants and parsley plants in the houses, there's no problem with Svichim if it grows by itself. And the other thing which is very important to us is Goyim. There's no halach of Svichim by Goyim, which means the vegetables that grow in Kedush, in land that is belong to Goyim and always belong to Goyim, what the Bedatz, Edus, Haredus, or Soymechon, has no problem with Svichim. Which means from the Bedatz you'll be able to get all the vegetables that you normally get, because again, Goyim have no Issa to plant, and if they've got no Issa to plant, they've got no problem of getting the Svichim either. Just to finish with one Nakuda, again, just what we started with, the Yesod of Shmita was the Yesod of Emunah B'Tochen. So the Chofetz Chaim was one time in a doctor surgery, and it was a time of war, and people were getting killed, never, even Jewish people. And the doctor, the non-Jewish doctor, said to him, Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe, I need to ask you a shayla. Where is your God? Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now? You know, people are dying, people are ill, left, right, and center. Why has he left you alone? Where is he? So Chofetz Chaim said to him, a very simple question. How do I know that you're a doctor? I said, what do you mean? Of course I'm a doctor. I have a certificate on the wall. It says over there on the wall, you know, which university I studied in, and it was signed and whatever. So Chofetz Chaim looked at it and said, yeah, that was 40 years ago. I said, what do you mean? It's not enough for you that 40 years ago I was a doctor. I have to prove it to you every single day. Said the Chofetz Chaim, the same thing was the Rebbeinu Shlomim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu proved to us, not that he needed to, but the HaKadosh Baruch Hu proved to us years and years ago by Har Sinai, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, by all the wonderful Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to prove to us that he still exists. However, the mitzvah of Shmita is unique. That Ki'ilu, it proves to us again and again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah for you without any suffix whatsoever. No human being can write something that will say that I guarantee you will get enough fruits for 3 years at the beginning of the sixth year. And there have been so many stories of farmers and people that own land here in Eretz Yisrael that have seen this with their own eyes, that all of a sudden in the sixth year they got tremendous shefa, brocha, and hatzlocha from the field that they never saw before. The brocha, the Torah, it's chal, they can see it clearly in their eyes, and that's something that obviously the lesson of Shmita is come to teach us. Be'ez Hashem, on Tuesday, we're going to go through more lemaisa of the halachas, that once you have Kedusha Shvi'is, Pavis, and Yerokas inside your house, how to deal with them, how to track them out, all those halachas, how to give them to kids, and then we'll go to the halachas of taking them to Chutz Laaretz, and the halachas of beer, when to dispose of them from the house. Any questions?
What about buying from the shuk?
From the shuk, so you have to know what the hechsher is. If it's a reliable hechsher, for example, the Bedat Eretz Chavedis, it's okay. If it's a reliable hechsher, there's no problem whatsoever. If it's not a reliable hechsher, for example, if it's an Oitzah Basin from a Missum Karelet, there's no problem that you can buy it, got Kedusha Shvi'is, there's no problem. But you have to be very, very careful. The Shuk is a place where, unfortunately, I've found so many times these fake hechsherim. You have people with couples on there, unfortunately, are displaying hechsherim that are not true. They've been photocopied, they've been falsified. During Shmita year, you should be even more careful than you are normally during the year to make sure that what you're buying is really, really true and has got a very good hechsher to make. Make sure, again, Svichim are dealing with Rabbonons, there's Hetem Mechiras, all sorts of problems that could go in during Shmita.
If you
catch the fruits, why don't you have to take Trumas HaMaisa? There's 2 reasons why it doesn't take Trumas HaMaisa. The main reason is because it's Hefka. Anything that's hefka does not require trumas hamaisa, and therefore, since the fruits and vegetables during Shmita are 100% hefka, there's no trumas hamaisa, you can just eat it straight from the tree.